Okay, welcome back. Hour number three, and it's time to talk to Mitchell Henderson. It's going to be interesting to see what Mitch has to say about what happened in Russia. People asking the question now, will Putin's response put an end to the war immediately? I don't think so. I don't know why. I just don't think so. He has shown, some people say, monumental restraint. I'm not sure if, I don't know what the hell's going on in the Kremlin, to be honest. I know if Medvedev was president, something would have happened long ago to end the war. And that's how you fight a war. You fight to win. You don't play 3 years of this World War I bloody trench warfare crap. That's not how you fight a war to win. Hello, Mitchell. Let's see what, one other thing. If any of you, for a moment, think that Trump didn't know about this, or the British and the French, and certainly the Mossad, you're kidding yourselves. They knew. There's no secrets like this hidden. Come on. Anyhow, welcome back. It's pretty crazy out there.
Yes, it is. Let me try to give everybody the big picture here. If you understand the big picture, I think you can figure out what's going on. I mean, if you look at it piecemeal, it's just a mess. But if you look at the big picture, things come into focus. So let me start with this. So Russia has been saying the same thing since December 2021, even before they invaded Ukraine. Europe and America act as if we have not heard a word of what they've said. And what I'm talking about here is what Russia needs for this war to be over. They need Ukraine to be neutral. Okay, they need all troops out of there. They are not going to allow themselves to be completely surrounded. That is ridiculous. They would never allow that. Okay, they need, when they say denazification, they mean to get rid of Zelensky and his cronies. They got to go. Okay, that's something that Russia really needs.
And yet
to.
We know so, that Zelensky has been protected. Putin's been told this man doesn't get killed, or he would have been dead so long ago. It's not funny.
So this is how Zelensky plays Trump. Russia says for 3 years that they want a final comprehensive peace treaty that settles all issues and prevents future wars, a security architecture that would be good for Russia and good for NATO, not a ceasefire, not a frozen conflict, but a final peace treaty. When Trump comes in, Zelensky asks for a ceasefire first, because he knows that Russia does not want that. Zelensky listens to Russia, but Trump and his advisors do not. Zelensky knows that Russia doesn't want a ceasefire. That's why he asks for it. This is how Zelensky plays Trump. Russia agrees to a 30-day pause in attacking each other's energy infrastructure. Russia keeps it, but Ukraine never abides by it and attacks Russian energy infrastructure almost every day. It should prove to the United States that Ukraine will absolutely not abide by any ceasefire. They will cheat because Ukrainians know that they will not be held to account for anything they do. Russia will always be blamed. They are not held to account for anything they do. Trump totally ignores this fact and acts like the Russians are the problem. Then Russia said, let's meet in Istanbul without any preconditions. Zelensky immediately imposes a precondition that Putin show up in person. Zelensky did this to sabotage the meeting in Istanbul. Trump ignores this fact and blames Putin for not showing up as a precondition to talks without any preconditions. Hell, the impossibility of reason. Trump is a chump. Okay?
Yeah, he is, yeah. So, they also tried to kill Putin last week in his helicopter. You think he's going to stick his neck out in a meeting?
Trust me.
Yeah, yeah.
Trust me. I'm going to get into that. So,
good.
So let's look at the other side. Putin knows from open and public information that Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote in 1998 that by sucking the Soviet Union into a war in Afghanistan, we brought down the Soviet regime and broke the Soviet Union into 15 smaller nations. And by sucking Russia into an invasion of Ukraine, we could do the same, bring down the Putin regime and break Russia up into 17 smaller nations. So CIA Director John Brennan implemented this policy in 2013. The Maidan Revolution and all that stuff that went on, that was all the CIA doing as a part of this to goad Russia into invading Ukraine. After the invasion in February 2022, Boris Johnson and Joe Biden both reiterated the goals of regime change and breaking Russia up in public speeches. Americans can hear these speeches. Russians can hear these speeches. Americans can read these papers, and the Russians can read these. This is a reality. This tells where our mind is at. We're not listening to Russia because we think this war in Ukraine will bring Russia down. Putin understands our end game and understands that the USA and NATO are, in fact, and beyond a doubt, an existential threat to the Russian state and people. Okay, so carry this a little further. We thought that just by Russia invading that we would bring the regime down, the people would revolt against the regime. Well, this has shifted to a new gear. We're going to keep attacking Russia, keep escalating, until we think the Russian people will get tired of Putin and throw Putin out. What we are going for, what Europe is going for, and what America is going for, and America is going for this, is that we want a war with Russia. But we think that we can have a conventional war with Russia, and that conventional war will overthrow the regime and break Russia up into 17 countries. We're stuck on this goal. Russia knows this. So let me just tell you this, but the fact is, let's draw back and look at this picture, okay? So Putin knows that Europe and the United States actually want a war with Russia, okay? He knows that just like Russia can never let Ukraine be a NATO or be allied against Russia in any way, even though Russia knows that, Russia also knows that Zelensky, in order to survive, has no choice except to drag the United States and Europe into a war with Russia. That is exactly what Zelensky is doing. That's exactly what Starmer is doing. Macron, Merz, they're all doing this. The United States, Trump could have saved himself a lot of trouble by doing what he told the American people he was going to do. He said that back last summer, he was saying, we shouldn't be giving Ukraine any money and we should not be involved in that war. He had an opportunity on January 20th to immediately stop all engagement with Ukraine, to pull all our money out, pull all our troops out, and stop being involved. He did not do it. What did Rubio, what did all these people do to Trump to make him not do that? What they did is they said, well, listen, Mr. Trump, you got a big ego, and you know, you can get involved in this Russia-Ukraine peace thing, and you can get a Nobel Peace Prize. Because, see, that's something that Trump would want. Okay, but, you know, the prophecy of Revelation, they'll be saying peace, peace, and then the shit will hit the fan. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it doesn't say it exactly that way in the Bible. But
here's Moscow's latest statement, Mitch, allegedly. A full ceasefire is possible in Ukraine only if Ukraine pulls back its troops and holds elections. What? This is nuts. Right. Even to read that kind of silliness.
Listen. So here's my point from what I'm just telling you now. Putin knows that the end game is nuclear war. Okay? He knows that he has to push the nuclear button. He knows that. He knows it's up to him. He knows that that's the only thing that's going to end it. So let me explain why. By looking at just what's been going on this past weekend and even last summer. So last summer, you remember we were talking about how the Ukrainians were bombing the radars that track incoming missiles.
They took out the whole one-third, the bottom leg of the triad of radars they had to detect incoming missiles. Yeah, they took it out.
Right. Okay, that is an act of nuclear war. According to the nuclear doctrine, that's enough to cause them to
nobody remembers that except
go
you.
To nuclear
good
war.
Job.
Okay, so the next thing mm-hmm. is earlier in the week. So when you attack a foreign nation's nuclear strategic forces, you go for certain things like the radar to detect your stuff coming in. You go for the command and control, okay? Yeah. And what is your command and control? That's President Putin is command and control. Taking out Putin is taking out the command and control for the nuclear weapons, okay? Then mm-hmm. the third leg is you know, Russia has a triple reinforced strategy like we do, and one of those wings is strategic bombers. And well, Ukraine just attacked those. Now listen, Russia knows, and we know, that the CIA and MI6 had everything to do with both the attempted assassination of Putin and the attack on these airfields. Okay, they
absolutely
know
correct,
that we were
yes.
directly involved in that, okay?
Yep.
So we have already done everything we need to do to justify Putin pushing the button, okay?
That's true.
So what I want to impress on everybody is Putin has the initiative, okay? It is up to him. If he wakes up one morning and he says, we're going to do it, boom. It's over. And you know what? It could be, it's not going to be something big. It doesn't have to be anything big. It can be the next thing that we do to provoke him. It could be Germany firing a Taurus missile deep into Russian territory. That could be the thing that starts it. Because you have to understand, Putin knows that if he sends like an Oreshnik to attack Germany, that will probably start a nuclear war. So he's better off just initiating nuclear war from the beginning. Because, see, he knows that the West wants to creep up and get him engaged in a conventional war that will not include nuclear weapons. But he does not have to do what we think he does. He can have a great advantage by just attacking us. And keep in mind this. Unlike us, Russia is probably the only country on Earth that can actually win a nuclear war.
Fairly stated, Russia is the
only country that can win a nuclear war. They can do that because they have the biggest nuclear arsenal, because they have hypersonic missiles that can attack from the South Pole, not go over the North Pole. They're hypersonic, so we can't shoot them down. He has these Poseidon submarine launch missiles and stuff that can wipe out a coast. I mean, listen, he's got the power to do this. But here's some important things to remember. Russia is twice the size of the United States with only half as many people. In other words, his people are spread out more, which means they're more likely to survive, have more people, a bigger percentage of their people will survive a nuclear war just by being spread out over a vast territory. Okay.
Got it.
So that's one thing there. Another point is while we have nuclear shelters for 0.05% of our population, that would be the people who are getting us into this war. Okay?
Oh my.
Russia has shelters for 80% of its population. Those shelters are stocked with food, medicines, water, stuff that they need, okay?
Yeah.
We don't have anything like that.
No, we're to be sacrificed. The American people mean nothing. Nothing. Go ahead.
Right. In our missile defense system, our top of the line is the Theater High Altitude Air Defense. That has, at best, can shoot down, has a 50-50 chance of shooting down a regular old-fashioned ICBM, not the new hypersonic glide reentry vehicle.
Or now we also remember all new, relatively new ICBMs are MIRVed. All right, MIRV, MIRVed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have 10 warheads, 10 different targets. They come down on 10 different trajectories. How the hell you think you're going to knock those down with something that has a 50% chance of hitting one?
Missiles. Okay.
No.
Our air defense systems go out to like 80 to 100 miles. Engaging at 80 to 100 miles out.
We don't have
they
any. Forget
start
it.
Engaging 300 to 400 miles out.
All
that
right.
means we get
even...
one shot at an incoming missile, and they can
it
get
doesn't even
two,
count.
Three, four shots at an
Forget
missile.
It. Doesn't even count.
In.
And the last, our most modern ICBMs, Minuteman III's, were built in the 1970s. They've been sitting in underground silos for 50 years. You think they're going to work?
But we have decided we're going to start investing in more nuclear weapons. You know what we're building? We're building B-61 gravity bombs, nukes. What good is that? With
I don't know. The new B-61 variant. I don't know what they're doing.
What are they doing? Who are they going to drop that on? You could drop a B-61 on Mexico City safely, probably. But not anywhere in Russia or China. You're not going to do it, okay?
This is all.
So, you see, Russia knows it can win a nuclear war. We are back in the 1960s thinking, nobody will use nuclear weapons because nobody can win. No. The Russians have thought for a long time they've thought they can win. It has been an option for them, okay? And we just think that they'll never do it. See, we underestimate Putin. We think he will not do it, but we're going to do something. We're going to do something. He's going to get tired of it. How will he get tired? What if the Russian people themselves start getting weary of all the bullshit that's going on right now? That might be enough. Public opinion might be enough for him to push the button. But he has the initiative.
Oh, I think he's
Putin
got the green light permanently. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, Putin knows he has the initiative. So I just wanted to bring that up, that we've already attacked three aspects of the strategic nuclear defense system. Okay, he has every right to push the nuclear button. Every right to do it. Legally, in Russia, believe it or not, we always scream about due process of law here. Well, Russia's got a big thing about due process of law, too. It's what the Constitution allows them or implies or insists that they do as an imperative, and nuclear defense of the country is one of those imperatives. Okay, so when you see, Russia knows there will be no peace treaty. Russia knows that already. Zelensky knows that. You know what? Even Trump knows that. There's no peace treaty. Well, I don't know if Trump knows it. Hegseth knows it, and Rubio knows it, and those people, the National Security Advisor, they know that. But who knows what Trump knows?
Trump is irrelevant. He's a player. He's a character actor player. All right.
Yes, he's a character.
Exactly. There was another big wave of drone attacks today hitting Russian infrastructure targets, blackouts, power failures, lots of them over a wide area, apparently. So they're not done. This is all known. People have said Trump didn't know.
Listen, here's another thing, too. None of those things changes anything in Ukraine. And this is why Putin knows he's going to have to go to nuclear war, because Ukraine cannot win. Ukraine has already lost the war. The only thing Ukraine is doing right now is they are trying to get the United States and Europe into a war with Russia. Okay, even Ukraine doesn't think it's going to go nuclear. They don't even think. Listen, Ukraine will do any dirty, filthy thing to get this started. They kept trying to bomb the big Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which would be an environmental disaster that would last for 1,000 years. They don't care. Whatever they have to do to provoke and get the United States and Europe into a war with Russia, they will do it. That is what Zelensky and his goons are working on every single day. You know what? Putin knows that. You know who doesn't know that? Trump doesn't know that because he's naive. Trump. He's uninformed. Listen. I just have to tell people, really, you need to get my book, The Final Wars, and read Chapter 9. Chapter 9 will let you see what's going on in the world from China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea's perspective. It'll let you see it from Israel's perspective and from the BRICS versus NATO perspective. Once you get a big picture of that, then everything you read in the news, it's going to start falling into place, you know? You'll understand why, for example, the United States has decided now to complain about the genocide of white people in South Africa. It's not because they care about white people. It's because South Africa has charges in the International Criminal Court against Israel. So we're attacking South Africa for genocide to counteract that, okay? We're doing terrorist attacks in India to get Pakistan and India's at each other's throat in order to divide China from Russia. Lindsey Graham is trying to pass a secondary sanctions bill that will, in effect, make China and India either to stop buying oil from Russia or to get a 500% tariff on them. Well, you know, listen, China and Russia and India, I think, are aware of what our real goal is there. It's to break up BRICS is what it's for, okay? It's to keep the dollar in place. They can just walk out on the dollar, you know? I mean, all these countries are starting to figure out it's not essential for them to trade with the United States. It's just not essential for them, you know? I mean, we were led into believing that it's so important for everybody to have the United States as a trade partner, but it's just not, you know. The United States can live without the rest of the world. The rest of the world can live without the United States. The only countries really hurt by a trade war is Mexico and Canada. The other countries in the world are not hurt by this. Europe is to a certain degree, but you have to realize Europe actually does more trade with China. If we pass the secondary sanctions bill, we will be hurting Europe with that, just like everything we've done in sanctions has hurt Europe so far. This is like a suicide pact or something that we've got going on over Russia and over Israel and stuff. Anyway, so my book, The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War in America, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization, okay, it's on sale at Amazon. Read Chapter 9. What you're getting in Chapter 9 is you're getting what the CIA used to tell the president. The CIA used to report these kind of things to our leadership. Okay, we usually ignore them, but at least they reported them. Okay, I used to see these reports. I used to see these. These reports were top secret. What you're getting in Chapter 9, you're getting a CIA-level, top-secret briefing about these countries that our government would never want you to have. If for no other reason, you should read it because our government would never want you to read it. Okay? So, because it's going to open your eyes to what's going on. Okay? So, I'm kind of changing my scenarios here a little bit. Let me just bring one other thing up before I go into that, though. In a conventional war with the United States and Europe against China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea, okay, even a conventional war, you got to realize that just Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea alone have 461 combat brigades, okay? If the United States, the EU, Ukraine, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Philippines, Australia, and New Zealand are fighting against them, they have a total of 431 combat brigades, so 30 combat brigades less. Okay. However, Slovakia, Hungary, and Turkey are unlikely to support a war with Russia. That's minus 48 combat brigades, bringing us down to 383 combat brigades to the enemy's 461 combat brigades. Also in Asia, the Philippines will not send its forces overseas and will only likely use those to defend itself against somebody who's not going to attack them, okay? So that is minus 35 more combat brigades. That brings our side down to 348 combat brigades versus 461 combat brigades. Everybody that Russia has got to send forces, Russia's only going to send troops into Ukraine and Transnistria. They're not interested in anywhere else. They don't need big, long supply lines or nothing like that. They have internal supply lines, so they can support that very easy. China will only take Taiwan. Taiwan's 100 miles away from them. They've already got all the logistics and stuff they need. The United States is 7,000 miles away from them, and this is why China and North Korea have huge submarine fleets, because all the military and all the logistics has to come across the Pacific Ocean, and those submarines will be sinking it. We'll have very vulnerable lines of communication that they can attack very easy, and there's not much we can do about it, okay? So North Korea will only be attacking South Korea. South Korea's got a pretty big army, okay? Their army is, let me see how many. South Korea has 128 combat brigades. North Korea, 102 combat brigades. But North Korea will nuke South Korea. They'll just nuke Seoul, Incheon, and Busan and not worry about it, okay? So that's it. And Iran really isn't interested in anybody else's property, okay? So, I mean, realistically, even a conventional war, we so foolishly think that we can do that. Let me assure you that the armies of Germany and Great Britain are sissy armies. They're weak.
There's nothing
armies.
There. Oh, you're right.
There's nothing there. There's no...
I agree.
Are DEI, politically correct, woke armies. And let me tell you about our army right now, our military. Our military, Pete Hegseth came in to stop all this DEI. I followed through like Stars and Stripes and other military things, which I access all the time. Send it to me. So what I've seen since Pete Hegseth got in, I've seen continuous DEI promotions throughout the military.
Really?
Yes.
So he hasn't. It's all talk.
I see a plethora of awards, medals, and awards being issued to people based on DEI.
Oh my!
Okay.
He's a fraud, then. The whole thing's a fraud.
Well,
it's worse.
It's just that he may put out those directives, but you know the brainwashed colonels and generals and majors, they're still following DEI. They're still they're in it because it's an, you know, it's like the base commander or say the infantry division commander will select a brigade commander. He's going to put a DEI guy in there because he's on that shady music still. Listen, General Cavoli is still in charge in Europe. He has killed 1.5 million Ukrainian troops. General Cavoli, he's still in command in Europe.
Wow.
He's responsible for the Cavoli plan of invading Kursk, throwing human lives away for nothing. Okay, these are the people. Listen, people, the people that will be taking your children off to war with Russia are the same people that are sending Ukrainian people to their deaths. 1.5 million Ukrainian soldiers killed. Okay, so keep that in mind. The Ukraine itself has 110 combat brigades. Okay, but you know they're pretty degraded. They're getting pressure on them all the time. So you ask, well, why doesn't Putin just rush over there to the Dnieper? Here we are in June already. Ask yourself this question. That is a good question. Why isn't he doing that? Why isn't he? What if he knows, well, why should I waste my troops' lives taking territory now when I'm going to push a nuclear button and bring it all down?
No, it makes sense.
Doesn't
that
make sense?
Another logical scenario. I agree. I don't know. The guy, yeah. They keep praising him as this wonderful, great diplomat, which he is, and with tremendous restraint, which he shows, but there's much more going on here. Much more.
You have to remember, Putin actually likes people and respects people. Okay,
I would think that's correct. Yeah.
He has a heart for people. Our government doesn't, but he has a heart for people. But you know who he has a heart for the most? Russian people. Okay. He will put his people first. His people before humanity. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's his job. That's what he gets paid for, right? I mean,
how strange
Russia,
it all is. How everything has completely reversed what it was 50, 60 years ago. It's all reversed.
Yep.
Russia, as Edgar Cayce said in the 1930s, is now the light unto the world. He said it was going to happen. A Christian country, a leader that cares about his people, who has created a standard of living for them that is remarkable. It's probably better than ours in many ways.
So, you know, I want to bring up another little point here. Okay, this is to presage what's going to happen soon here in America. After the Civil War, President Ulysses S. Grant said that he thought that the Civil War was God's punishment for what we did to Mexico in the 1948 Mexican-American War.
What a moron.
We stole half of Mexico's territory in that war, okay? Yeah. This is just an observation that Grant made, okay? But now I want you to pay attention to this. During our global war on terrorism, we killed 4.7 million Muslims and displaced 38 million Muslims to the United States and Europe. There was 1.5 million Christian Arabs in the Middle East when we began, and only 250,000 remaining when it was over. The United States wiped Christianity out of the Middle East. We are an accomplice in the genocide of the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. We are complicit in ethnic cleansing of a people, of war crimes and crimes against humanity. The guy that pays the hitman and supplies him with the gun is just as guilty as the hitman is of murder. Okay. We have attacked and bombed Serbia, Libya, Iraq, Syria, and Yemen without UN authorization, against international law. We have occupied Kosovo, Iraq, and Syria without international permission and against international law. The United States has murdered 66 million innocent babies since 1973. Between 1980 and 2020, 72,525 children were murdered in the United States. In the USA today, 2,100 children go missing each day. Okay. I think they're afraid to provide any statistics. I look for statistics on how many American children are molested, but I think they're afraid to actually put those figures out there. During the sodomite Marxist Biden regime, LGBT people rose from 5.6% in 2021 to 9.3% at the end of Biden's regime in January 2025, almost doubled the LGBT. America is a homicidal sodomite cesspool of evil. Okay, what is coming will make the Civil War look like a time of peace and abundance, okay? What goes around comes around. Karma's a bitch. We will reap what we have sown, okay? This is what they call in war, this is von Clausewitz, classical war, this is called moral force. What I'm trying to illustrate here is Russia has moral force and we do not, okay? And moral force has a lot to do with who wins, okay? So what I think is going to happen is I think that World War III can begin any time. A nuclear war can come any time. If I was to pick a day, and I'm not going to say that Putin's going to do this, but if I was to pick a day, I would pick June 21st at 3:00 in the afternoon, Washington D.C. time. Okay, and this is because during daytime, nuclear weapons have the most thermal effects to do damage during the day.
The nighttime actually tampers those effects. Why is that?
Well, because it's light that burns, and of course, if it's dark, the light doesn't travel as far. It cools off faster. So in the daytime, it's good. Also, at 3:00 in the afternoon, everybody's at work still. Okay, so that's a good time to do it.
As soon as the button is pushed, as soon as the nukes fall and ignite, reconstruction begins. Rebuilding, survival. It's right on the other side of the coin. It's not like this nuclear war is going to last day after day. It's going to be boom.
No. Listen, the nuclear war is going to be just a few hours. But let me tell you why 3:00 in the afternoon. 3:00 in the afternoon because that'll be 10:00 in Moscow. Okay, Moscow can move its people to shelter in about 30 minutes. Okay,
Isn't that amazing? It's true. What Mitch is saying is running
into their shelters because that's how we are tipped off that a nuclear war is coming. So at 9:18 on June 21st, that's when the sun goes down in Moscow and it's dark. That's when they can run people. They have 45 minutes or so to run everybody into a shelter, push the button, and catch us with their pants down. Okay. Now, Putin probably won't pick that day because American strategists, if I know that, the American strategists know that too. But I don't want to carry that too far because the fact is if you read chapter 9 of my book, you're going to see that, you know, not only do I know this, the Chinese know it, the Russians know it. I mean, Iran knows their own mind. Everything I write in the book about Iran, the Iranians know that. Okay, it's a secret from us, okay? So I'm not going to assume that just because I can figure something out or I know something that our leadership will do that, okay? Typically, they have not. Now, let me say another thing is you're not looking at, we're going to be in rough times for a year. I'm talking about when this whole thing's over, because it's more involved than just the nuclear war. The nuclear war is just the beginning. Many, many problems come after that. There'll be famine, there'll be plagues, there'll be lawlessness. I mean, it's going to be hell. And this is a civilization-ending event. We're not going to rebuild. When this thing starts,
out
there needs to keep in mind that it's not going to go back to normal.
Right. Mitch,
you know,
is
you're going to go back to the Stone Age.
Right. Mitch, is this needed? Yes. Is it an essential? Think. Is this an essential part of the Great Reset to further denude the world of lots and lots of people and lifestyles and end up with lots of 15-minute city models and things to take up the slack?
Yes. This is what they're thinking, but I think it's going to get out of their control. Okay.
You can have a certain amount of controlled chaos,
but chaos can get so out of control that you can't control it. So I don't think they're going to succeed in the Great Reset. I think that nature's going to reset everything. and they're not going to be the ones in charge. Okay. So what I'm trying to tell people is, when you're planning ahead, you know, this isn't like a 3-day food supply until they can get the power back on. We're talking about, this is a civilization ending thing. Your life is not going to be the same. So you need to think about the long term. You need to like now, when you have time, look at videos on YouTube about how people lived in medieval times and in the Stone Age and stuff. What were the skills? How did they find food? How did they start fires? You need to start absorbing that information now. And listen, I have a friend named Travis Smith. He's over on Republic Broadcasting. Mm-hmm. He is offering what he calls a prepare pad, and this is a little tablet. And on
I got
there,
it.
He has loaded.
I finally got it. Opened it yesterday. I haven't gone through it yet. This is a brilliant creation. Assemblage. He's got a little. He's even got a little. A Baofeng phone in there.
Yes.
Ham type phone. Short. Whatever. I don't know the name of the terminology to use, but he's got it all. I can't believe what this is. We need to get him on the program and talk about this and get a banner up for it. I don't know how much he's selling it for. What it is, it's a phone for communication. It's you just call it an iPad, it's a tablet, whatever. And it's loaded with the most important information you could want to survive. And this is really brilliant. And he's not asking much money for it at all, apparently. So would you try and get him arranged to come on with you, and we'll go through the whole thing? Does he have a website for it yet?
Yeah, let me give you the thing. It's www.comcoms.link, and it's called the prepare pad. The prepare pad is $250, and if you want the two Baofeng phones, radios, it's $350 for the pad and the phones. And those phones
are programmed to your local area. Com with an S on the second one. Comcoms.
Right.
Dot link.
Link.
Okay. So
right.
this is wild.
Comcoms.link.
No, it's sitting at the pickup place, and I've got it, and I was stunned. It has a little. It's got everything. I mean, it's all there. This guy is brilliant. He's put it together.
This is a much needed package. This tablet, he includes a solar charger for it. So, you know,
talking
about, you can carry a big library of books, or you could carry this pad
I got that.
Nice
looking solar panel. It's all there. So, we'll have him on and go through this. Comcoms, C-O-M-S, at the end.
Yes.
Comcoms.link. All right. So, and we will have him on soon. This really needs to be made available to everybody. I'm not sure they'll all buy it.
Put on the order form, if you write rents on there, he'll give free shipping in the United States. If you write rents on the order form.
Well, that's worth $20-$25 easy. So thank you for that. Okay. Tell them, in any case, where you heard about this. Go look it up. It's all there. Simple page. Very well put together. And I was just amazed when I opened the box. So we'll have him on next week. Whatever. Soon. As soon as you can get it set up.
Okay, well, I'll make some things. I think next week he's going to be flying someplace, so he might not be able to do it. But
flying to...
But we'll make an arrangement. I'll work with him.
Flying to Kiev, is he?
Uh-huh. Right. Hopefully
flying to
nowhere.
We can maybe put him on... Hold on. I can put him on tomorrow night. I can make room. Talk to him and see if he can come on tomorrow night. We'll follow up.
Okay, I'll give him a call. Okay.
All right, very good.
Sounds good.
Comcoms.link.
Dot link. Okay. Okay, so let me just reiterate, okay, that there will be no peace. There's not going to be peace in Israel, nothing either. The positions of everybody are impossible positions, okay? They're impossible positions because they want war. There will
be sounds like the decision is made, and I'm beginning to think that
yes,
maybe
made.
My hunch has a little weight to it, that this limited thermonuclear war is part of the great takedown and the great reset. That would make it instant and quick. These things
yes.
are all off the table. They're gone. They don't exist anymore. And now we put it together from scratch, however they want to do it. There's nothing they won't do. They've injected 5.5 billion people with their genocide.
4 years
facts.
Ago, they created a police state because of some bogus emergency. Imagine what they'll do when there's a real emergency. The world dictatorship is coming. It's going to be right on the heels of this war, okay? So, the thing here's my experience. I've been in countries when I saw them implode. I saw them implode from revolution, civil war, or international war. And the thing I saw societies implode, it gets out of control. There's massive deaths. There's always hunger. Hunger will come fast. Hunger will come very fast. When people get hungry, their immune systems go down.
Yeah.
The people who got the shots will probably start passing away very fast. They're right. going to be very vulnerable to disease. But everybody else, as they get weaker, they're going to fall away from disease too. Let me give you a quick example. I met this guy in Florida. He was a survivor of Auschwitz, and he surprised me. I asked him just off the thing how long he was there, and I was assuming he'd only been there a short time.
He said he'd spent an old man.
He had the tattoo on his arm and everything. He said he had spent 3 years in Auschwitz, and I said, well, how could that be? Well, he's the guy who told me that the people they killed right away were Marxists. If you were a Marxist, they'd kill you because they didn't want you agitating and organizing and stuff. So if you're a Marxist, they killed you right away. If he wasn't a Marxist, they could work. Okay, and he said what happened is he got typhus fever as soon as he got there. Like within days, he came down with typhus. And he was well-fed and healthy when he arrived at the camp. So he survived the typhus. Okay, and of course, if you survive typhus, then you have immunity you're not going to get again. That's how he survived for 3 years. At Auschwitz, if people got there and got the typhus later, after now they're kind of hungry and not well fed and stuff, that they were more likely to die if they'd been there a while and caught the typhus than if you arrived healthy and you caught it, you might survive. So he explained that to me. This is the future. Okay, when people get hungry, their immune system goes down, and things that normally wouldn't kill you will end up killing you. Okay, so. Things will get out of control,
I wonder now if this whole prelude to war, which is now in a condition where Putin has all he needs to justify the use of nukes. Hey, that's plenty.
It can go any day.
If that is part of the Great Reset, I wonder.
Yeah, we are not waiting for some big incident now. All we're waiting for is when Putin feels comfortable enough to press the button. That's all we're waiting for, okay?
Well, I'll tell you, from what I've seen of Medvedev, he'd do it yesterday. He comes across as a hothead, but not necessarily. He's a patriot.
Bad cop, okay?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, keep that in mind, too. Medvedev is there to be bad cop, and Putin's there to be good cop. So that's... they're playing the world with that also. But
right.
make no bones about it, Putin will push the button. It'll be at his time, at his leisure, when he thinks it's the best time. Okay, so there is no hope. Okay, there's no hope of this war is set in stone now. World War III is set in stone. Okay.
Well, I've never seen anything in history that can match this. In terms of certainty, I haven't. You're right. If it doesn't happen, I'll be quite surprised. Happy. That's great. But no, it's over the edge. It's gone.
Yep. So coming to get their personal go bag and their vehicle go bag, get them ready. Make sure you know where you're going. Okay?
I got it.
And just what you do is watch for events in Russia. I mean, what we're seeing is some attack on Russia, then nothing happens. Then one day there'll be some attack on Russia, and bam, you'll see a response right away. Okay. He's not going to wait around to talk about it. He's talked about it all he can talk about it. Next time, it's just pushing the button. Okay.
You make always such perfectly logical sense. Thank you, Mitch. Excellent summary and overview, as always. Maybe we'll talk tomorrow night if you can get that gentleman to come on. Third hour, 8 o'clock Pacific. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Mitch.
Sounds good. I'll email you. Okay.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
All right. And all of you, I hope you appreciate the variety of views we get here. Mitchell Henderson is peerless. You're not going to get a better world view from anybody. And there are a lot of people out there yammering and talking and chattering away, but I don't see much real substance. It's all guesswork. A lot of them are just copying what they're seeing and hearing. Not knocking them, I'm just saying go slowly with information. Back with you tomorrow. Take care.